Well, guys, we're talking about the parent life, and we believe that parenting is so important. And for all of you that are here, obviously, you understand it as well, whether you're a parent or the responsibility of making your parents good parents. And we're going to talk about it tonight, part two, and we're talking about the blueprint for parenting. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into it. Father, we thank you, we praise you for this day, and we give you all the glory and the praise, and we thank you that our ears are open to hear, our hearts are open to receive all that you have to say. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory that as we open up the Word of God tonight, that the lives of every single person here is blessed, whether they're young, whether they're old, whether they're watching all over the world. Lord, let their lives be impacted by what is said tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a video I was supposed to show, but I'm not going to show it right now because I believe it's important to go into this teaching. We've been talking about the parent life and the blueprint for parenting. And we talked about early on last week that being a parent and raising these amazing, beautiful people we have called children is one of the greatest honors you'll ever have. You must consider it an honor, young people, that you have parents that care enough for you to even be a part of a church, that they choose to be your parents. And being parents is not an easy thing either. It's never easy, no matter what the age may be. I happen to be the parent of a 21-year-old, about to be, well, 21-year-old. And where's Jordan? Are you here tonight, Jordan? Where are you? Okay, this is my daughter. Come on up here with me. Come on up here. This is one of my daughters, Jordan. Give her a hand. She deserves a hand. And we didn't plan this either. She had no idea I was doing this. But, Benita, can I get the microphone again? I just want to ask one question because it's nowhere in the world I should be teaching on parenting if I'm failing, right? Okay? So she doesn't even know I'm doing this. So, Jordan, talk to me about me and your mom being a parent. Have you been raised properly, you think?
Yep.
Hold the mic up.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
All right, that's being a parent. Hold that mic up in your face, all right?
Okay.
Turn towards the camera because people are watching. All right, there we go. So what would you say about how's your life been, me being your dad? And
this is loud. My life's been pretty good, not going to lie. My parents, they are strict. They definitely grew up, and I had boundaries, and I had to run things by them all day, every day. But I also had freedom, and I had an opportunity to get to know them outside of just being parents. They're friendly, and they're loving, and they give me my time to express myself, and they're just pretty cool. Annie's just cool. He's a cool dude, so, you know, he's a cool guy to have as a dad. So he's awesome, and my mom as well, always.
Yeah, so what do I do? What's one thing I do that get on your nerves, like make you so, and I know there's many, but there's a couple things I do that you just don't like. You talk about it all the time. I could tell you one, but you tell me. What's one of the things you don't like that I do that make you like, Dad, stop?
This is like kind of, it's not a good one, but so I like Instagram or I'll Snapchat. Or if I'm on FaceTime, I'll FaceTime him, and he'll answer the phone, but he will not say anything. So I'll be like, hello, and he's just like, nothing. That ticks me off so much. I don't know. What's another one? Stop. No, for real, for real. This is what he does. This is what he does. I don't know another one, though, so please, Dad, please. Dad.
Okay, thank you, Jordan. Give her a hand, y'all. Give it to Benita. Parenting is awesome. We have a wonderful relationship. And I believe that God has given all of us a blueprint. I believe in order for you to successfully build anything in life, especially if you're going to talk about family and raising children, it's about a blueprint. Let me give you a definition of blueprint. I actually have a blueprint here, and I'm fascinated by these things, and there's not many people I know that can really read these things. Chris can. He's one of my heroes, and it's actually, I think, came from his office, our head of our facilities here. But a blueprint is simply this. It's a plan, a set of proposals that provide the builder with a complete list of instructions on exactly how to construct a home or a building. I believe that God will give us, he has given us an exact proposal. He's given us some instructions on how to build a successful family. And never before, I believe, is there a need to build a successful home and a family than now. Everything is coming against us. There's so much that's attacking what the Bible says, and the Bible is God's blueprint for us building successful homes. The Bible is God's blueprint for you to follow instructions to be the success you're supposed to be, whether you're a teenager, whether you are don't even know yet what I'm saying and you're in this room or whether you're a parent, if you try to follow any other instructions, I can tell you it's going to be a little incomplete according to what God says it should be. Psalms 127 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builder is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries, or this is actually guards, our warriors, it will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his love. Children are a gift. I want every parent in here to hear this. No matter how they may not seem like this, you got to live on the principles of this word. This is your blueprint. No matter how they're acting, no matter what the attitude may be, children are a gift from the Lord. Let's everybody say that together. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward for him. So instead of cursing them out, or calling them names, you look at them and say, you little reward you, I tell you, you gift you. Instead of saying those other things, we say, speak the word of God over their lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Being a blueprint. God desires, here's a part of his blueprint. He desires that we live our life as parents, as role models before them. We must do this. And here's what I believe is the foundation of every single home that God, when he says the word of God is the blueprint, but I believe honoring God, it all starts with honoring him. If you're trying to be married without honoring God, you won't be successful. If you're trying to be a teenager without honoring God, it won't be successful. If you try to be a mother or a father without honoring God, you won't be successful. You may be successful according to the world standard, but to God's standards, you must honor him. And that's what I want to spend my time talking about today. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the latter part of it says, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God is telling us that we should honor him. But it's amazing how we want everyone to honor us, but we don't want to sometimes honor those that we're supposed to honor. Parents are easy, quickly saying, you honor me. You honor me. Why? I'm your parents. Well, you know what? There's a reversal to that as well. Parents, you must honor God first, and then there's an honor you must do for your children. You must honor them. Why should we honor, no matter what level of life we're on? First of all, it pleases God. Everybody say it pleases God. And when we also honor, it teaches others to honor. It teaches others to honor. Now, what does honor mean? Honor means to place a value on something, to consider it a prized possession. It's a prized possession. We all should honor, amen. Like our phones. We honor these things, boy. You remember that was a time, I remember a time when you didn't have this. It wasn't important. It didn't care. I didn't matter. I remember as a kid, be outside all day long playing, never had a phone, didn't even know that a phone exists. But now, boy, when we leave the house, you ever left your phone somewhere and you like feel like you lost the whole world? It's like, where's my life? Well, honor, we should have that same greater honor for God. Place a high value on something to honor him. And then today we're honoring all types of things. We honor the way of the world. We honor, the way that we honor things and material things. We feel like if we have all this stuff, all these things in our life, if we have the right house and the right, that's going to make my home successful. Not at all. What the true thing to do is to honor God. And we have to follow his word. I found a beautiful quote. This quote said, I came to parenting the way most of us do. Knowing nothing and trying to learn everything. God, it is possible to be a good young person. It is possible to be a great parent. It is possible. But how do we do that? Well, we have to be intentional. And tonight, as we dig deep into this, we got to follow God's word. And I want to first talk about I talked a little last week to the parents about honoring. I want to talk to the young people that are here tonight. All the teenagers, make some noise. Or you can be louder than that. You can be a little louder than that. Yeah. Now, maybe you don't have teenagers yet. If you have children, listen now. Take good notes now, because one day they will be. And one of the things I wish I would have done when I had a little baby And when Jordan was so, I remember Jordan taking a picture and having feathers all around her, and she was just a gaga goo goo. It was to the point where she was so cute, she could spit on me, and I thought it was the cutest thing. She'd slob all over me, you know? She'd slob all over me, like, that is so cute. Not now, she can't slob on me now. But here's the reality. God has an expectation of us to honor. It's interesting, when you look at the Ten Commandments, God's word is full of challenges to us. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not kill. We got that, right? We got that one down. We're not killing people. Amen. It says, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Check. A lot of us got that. God is our God. We're not worshiping the devil. We're not going around here. Then it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Most people have that together. But then, number five of the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment says this, honor your father and mother so that you may live long on this land. Honor is very important to God. And notice that when he said honor your father and your mother, there's no age limit. It didn't say until you're 16, until you're 12, or until you're old enough to drive, or until you think you're grown. You know, I hear kids all the time, students all the time, all over the country when I travel and talk to teenagers, like, you know what, I should be able to do it. I'm almost grown. What in the world is almost grown? There is no such thing as almost, you know, honestly, it's like being almost pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. There's no such thing as I'm almost grown. And so God says that this honor thing is something we do all our life. I found out that even when your parents are no longer here on this earth, there's still this ongoing attitude of honor. This Sunday was Mother's Day. You know, my mom passed 4 years ago. And what's so interesting is that me and my sisters and brothers, we spent a lot of time honoring my mom, even though she's in heaven today. Honoring never stops. Everybody say, honoring never stops. And God commands us. Why would God command us to honor our mothers and fathers? Well, when you honor your parents, you're honoring God, and God promises to bless those who honor him. Young people, listen to me. If you cannot honor an earthly parent that you can see, you'll never honor a heavenly father that you don't see. So honor is important. And I'm not preaching this because I believe you don't honor. I'm preaching this in faith to those that maybe think that I have an opportunity or I don't have to or it doesn't apply to me. It applies to all of us. One of the biggest mistakes you can make in your life, regardless of what your age is to disrespect, disregard, and dishonor the authorities in your life. It opens the door to disaster. It opens the door for the world to flood upon you. And you don't want to do this. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, everyone, everybody say everyone. Listen to this. No one's exempt. I'm not exempt. Pastor Pascal is sitting here on the front row. She's not exempt. Pastor John, if he was here, he's not exempt. T.D. Jakes is not exempt. No one is exempt. I don't care who they are, how special, how rich, how famous, whoever you are, you must honor. And that's the question I want to ask you. Are you honoring? Because the Bible says here, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Everybody say all authority. It comes from God, and those in position of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. So God believes in honor. One of the reasons why, I'll just say this, if you're working for a company, and you may not like it, but one of the reasons why you're not getting certain things in your life is because of the dishonor you may have towards those in authority. You may not like what the government does, but you must have that sense of authority. There are four levels of authority, I believe, we need to honor in our life. First and foremost, I'm going to start with government. Government is a place, is a position or an authority that God put in place. And we may not always like what they do. And we may not always like the rules and the changes of this, but we must honor. So honor means I don't put my mouth and say negative things and say things that speaks, you know, evil towards them. I have to honor. Everybody say, I must honor government. I know it's hard to say it, but go ahead and say it. I must honor government. The other thing I'm going to say is that we must honor the guardians in our lives. The guardians are those that God has placed, like parents and maybe grandparents, or maybe you live in a situation where you're not with your biological parents, but you must honor your parents, whether you like their curfews or like their rules or don't like the way they eat, the food that they're making, or don't like certain things. You have to honor your guardians. The third level is the gatekeepers. Gatekeepers are the mentors, the leaders, the influencers in our life. People that have put, you've allowed them in your life. Maybe a coach, maybe a teacher. There are some of you right now, you don't realize your teachers are some of the greatest gatekeepers in your life. And you may not appreciate it now, but later on in life, all of a sudden it's like, wow, that was my favorite teacher. And I thought I hated him or her the most. I remember my first grade teacher, my second grade teacher. I remember my first grade teacher. I'm 53 years old, and I still have the memory of Miss Paris. I remember her. Why? She had an impact on my life. My second grade teacher, Miss Henderson. I can remember her like yesterday. She was an older lady, but she had this wisdom about her. My third grade teacher, she was a great teacher, but I also remember how beautiful she was. She was amazing. I mean, literally, she had long hair and just, she drove an orange Corvette. So I wasn't the only one that remembered her. All the guys in our school remembered her. And this is a true story. I remember one day seeing Miss Williams, my third grade teacher, in a grocery store, and I about passed out. You ever seen your teacher outside of the school, and you're like, what in the world? What are you doing here? Like, teachers don't eat and shop and go to the grocery store. They teach. But I remember my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Carter, one of the first authorities in my life. He drove a green Chevrolet truck, a 1967 truck. And he wore short sleeve white shirts like an insurance man with a pocket protector. And he walked around. He was a little short man, bald, looked like George Jefferson's from the show The Jeffersons. No joke. But he had this influence about him. And boy, when Mr. Carter came into the room, everybody listened. I remember my sixth grade teacher. See, I'm talking about the gatekeepers. And to this day, some of the things they did and said impacts my life for all of my life. Miss Avis, didn't like her at all. She was something, she was mean was what we thought. And Miss Avis had control over us in the cafeteria. And every time we get loud, she stands up in front of everybody else in the cafeteria and count, one. And here's the fourth honor that we should have in our life, ultimately, is God. We're to be honoring God. You see, honoring God really should be first, because you will never honor the guardians, the gatekeepers, the government, without having an honor for God in your life. He must be first. And as young people, it's so important to do this, because if you don't, you're setting yourself up for failure in the future. And as a parent of a young person now, don't allow your kids to be dishonorable. Don't allow their cuteness and their slob and their spit and their pretty eyes and their first time walking and their all of that to just ignore the idea of honor. You teach them now. Don't be mean and disrespectful and hurting them, but don't allow their cuteness to ignore what God says and to honor. I began to think about, I've been working with young people now for over 30 years. Not just the fact I own or have the beautiful privilege of bringing two beautiful young ladies into this world, but I've seen all kinds of young people. And why is it difficult for some young people to honor versus others? Let me give you a few. I have a couple of type of children I want to share with you today, and I kind of developed this. There's this my way or no way child. They always want things to go their way. It's my way or no way. Let me tell you something. If you have that kind of attitude, it will keep you from honoring those things in your life. And some of you, the reason why as adults it's your way or it's my way or no way is because you were allowed to grow up as a person, as a young person, and this is the attitude you had. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel like you're being judged. Make the adjustment in your heart. Don't allow yourself to raise a my way or no way child, throwing down the phone, having fits and tantrums. Unacceptable. And every parent know what I'm talking about, whether you allow it or seen it. You ever been in the grocery store? I know I have. You ever been to the grocery store and seen that kid just, that my way or no way child in the grocery store? I don't know about you, but I have that moment many times. Because the kid just like, parents like, here, have this. No! Have their sippy cup. I have a sippy cup up here I'm representing right here. This is actually cold water. And the parent like, here's some water. No! I don't want any water. No, no, no! I don't know. I just, next time you see this, stop. If you think I'm joking, every person in here, stop and look around the store and look at the other parents. They're all looking like, oh my gosh. Oh my Lord, I wish that was my child. Just give me 5 minutes. That's all I need. Just 5 minutes. That'll never happen again. Then you have the Jekyll and Hyde child. They're very deceitful at times. They're one way with their parents and another way when their parents are not around. They're cursing, lying, you know, they're saying things, they're being things. And as parents, we have a responsibility to stop this. When you see this, don't cute it out. Deal with it. Honor God by saying, listen, I'm not going to allow you to be this split personality type of person. It's a dishonor to God. The third is the know-it-all child. Can't be told anything. They know everything already, and they only been here for a few years. Isn't it interesting how you know everything? You don't know everything. I don't know everything. But you ever seen that child? I know. I already know. You about to tell them, hey, I got to tell you something. I already know what you're going to say. How you know what I'm going to say? Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, you need to learn to listen. Turn to someone else and say, don't be a know-it-all. Don't allow parents now, as young as they are, wherever they may be, don't allow them to know it all. Stop and teach. Don't allow them to Google everything. Don't be a Google of everything. I talk about this all the time. God some things. Amen? Here's the fourth type of child, the rebellious child. Rejects any and all level of authority, even when they know it's wrong. Just rebellious. Just do whatever they want to do. Don't touch that. No, I'm going to do it. Don't watch that. I'm going to do it. Don't be on social media. Okay, I'm not on social media with my real name, but I have another name. That's still rebellion. The Bible says rebellion. Listen to this, young people, parents. When we allow our children to be rebellious, I want you to see what the Bible says. 1 Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When I allow my kids to have this rebellious spirit and like timeouts, we had timeouts. Timeouts was so different when I grew up. Can the church say amen? You got to be politically, you know, correct now, but man, timeouts, all that, put them in timeouts. We had timeouts a lot of time. Where my parents raised us, it was wonderful. I know now, but back then they did today. Most people would call it abuse, but it was great. It was great timeouts. Rebellion. When I allow my child to be rebellious, whether they're 2 or 17 or 16 or 15, I am allowing them to practice witchcraft. Now, everybody has a different way of dealing with things. But my way, I believe everyone's way should be the way of the word. And maybe there are certain things you don't believe in. And my mom, I'm grateful, and my dad, they didn't have God early on, but they got God later in life. But I think when I look at my siblings, for the most part, we turn out okay. Rebellion is not something we should accept because it dishonors God. And let me give you one last one, the trustworthy child. You have proven to be dependable, honest. Isn't that cute? There's an honesty about you, there's a responsibility about you. You know, you're always asking your parents to trust me, earn it. You earn it by respecting, you earn it by being honest. You earn it by following what God's word says, amen? Proverbs 12:1 says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. You want to say something stupid? That's stupid. You know what's stupid? When you hate discipline and correction. Little children have it down. They understand it. Every parent in here that has a little infant and a little baby, and you've had to say no to them or you had to discipline them in whatever that way was, and you discipline them, and right after you discipline them, isn't it amazing? They want to come and love on you. They get in your lap. They want to hug you. Even the boy, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Mommy. Don't be mad, Daddy. And we got to learn how to receive that because they understand that God put it in you to love discipline. We don't like it. In a culture today, we run against it. We completely want to ignore it. God dealt with me something years ago, flying, because I fly a lot when I'm on airplanes. And I learned to do something. I just practiced this in myself. So when I'm on an airplane and a flight attendant is given the instructions, she's in authority or he's in authority at that moment. So I'm not reading my magazines or writing or listening to music. I take my headphones off, even though I can say the speech with them. And even though sometimes they're going through the motion, just, you know, that fake smile, putting the thing over their head. I stop. See, I'm doing this. I've been on there a lot. Here's what I do. I stop and I honor and I respect the authority that's before me. I'm not going to talk about teachers and police officers and my pastor and my parents and other leaders in my life and other influences in my life. If we want God's blueprint, we must follow God's word. And when we follow God's word, God's blessing comes upon us. Proverbs 12:1 from the Message Bible says, if you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it. How short-sighted to refuse correction. One of the last conversations I had with my mom before she went to heaven, not knowing that she was going to be transitioning from this earth months later, I remember I was sitting at the stoplight on the exit coming to my house with my earplugs on and talking to her. And I said, Mom, I asked her two things. I said, I want you to send me the recipe for she makes this amazing soup down south. They call it gumbo. And she said, baby, I'm going to write it down because my mom liked to write things down. She had great handwriting, and she would send it to us. And so I was like, I can't wait to get that recipe so I can learn how to make your gumbo the way you make it. And then I said, you know what, Mom, I just want to thank you for whooping our behinds when we were little kids. I never thought in a million years I would thank her for whooping us. I know what to say, and I'm going to just say, we got whoopings. People are like, what is that? What's a whooping? What is that? I never heard that language before. Is he Klingon or what? Is he like, what is this? But we got whoopings, and I realized how important it was, and I thanked her for it. I honor my mom. I honor my dad. And I just want to encourage you tonight to honor. You see, here's what you have, every parent, every young person here. You got a blank canvas. We look at this as a canvas. You have an opportunity right now, no matter where you are in your season of life, to create a canvas, a picture that can become an incredible blueprint for your future as parents, for your future as young people. Can I also say this to every young person here? How you honor your parents, you're sowing seed for children that you will have one day. Let me give you some advice to the young people that are here, especially those that are old enough and you're responsible for what you're saying and doing. I want you to do something when you go home tonight with your parents or say, Mom, Dad, can I talk to you? I want to say something to you. I love you. Now, that may seem weird to them, and one of the first things they may say is, what'd you do? What do you want? So now I don't want anything just to tell you, I love you, and I appreciate you. It's not attached to anything I want, anything I need, or anything I've done, even though I've done some stuff. Even though I want some things, I want that to be separate from my honor to you tonight or today. Romans 13:7 says, we show honor to whom honor is due. I want to ask a question. Is there anybody here that have people in their life that's due some honor right now by show of hands? Anybody? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a supervisor. Maybe it's an influencer in your life. Maybe it's someone that impacted you years ago. You should show honor. We shouldn't wait till those special days of Mother's Day and Father's Day. We have holidays for every day now. It's a holiday for everything. Today is Cheeseburger Day. Tomorrow is Light Bulb, National Light Bulb Day. I don't know. It's all kind of crazy holidays. So let's make every day a day of honor. That's God's blueprint. And when we do that, God honors us. He blesses us. I believe it's important to focus on what matters most. And what matters most is God. My final point, what matters most is God. I thought growing up, what matters most is to have the most money and the best of this and the best of that. Can I share one little thing with you? When I was growing up, I remember watching this cartoon. Anybody remember this cartoon called Richie Rich? Now, some of you may not remember the original, not the show, the original cartoon, Richie Rich. Actually, I think we have a picture of Richie Rich, the cartoon. If we don't, it's okay. But Richie, there he is. Anybody remember that? Richie Rich. I mean, you already know you're rich when your real name is Richie Rich. But Richie Rich had everything. He had gold. His dog name was Dollar. And this is what I thought. I thought that matters most. I want to have a house like Richie Rich and a car like Richie Rich. Matter of fact, I don't even have to be Richie Rich. I just want to know Richie Rich. But then I realized that what matters most was God, not money, not being famous, not getting a bunch of followers. That's what matters most. Everybody say, God matters most. The second thing is, we all have to decide to live a godly life. Before them, whether it's parents with children or before you as young people to others. If we want this world to change, we want to build a blueprint, show the world what a real blueprint is the reality is we must live a godly life before them. Have genuine faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, have a genuine faith. Share your faith, not in your mouth, but with your lifestyle. At school, at work, at home, how I raise my kids, what I say. There are so many things we can do, but we have to live before them. That's the second value. If I truly want to live my life in such a way and to God's blueprint, it makes life that much better. I have so much more I can share with you, but I have to stop. But I will stop with this. As parents, know this. You're the greatest influencer in the life of your children, now and later. There's no greater influence in the life of Jordan and Alexis than her mom and I. We have done it in every way. We do things on purpose. We've taught them values. We teach them responsibility. We've done these things because we realize that we're the most. There will be no one that will spend more time impacting the life of your young people or your young person than you. I can prove it with numbers. For instance, every year, the average young person will spend about 1,000 hours watching television and playing video games and media components, 1,000 on an average. Every year, they'll spend about 1,400 hours in a classroom, going to school and doing different activities within the school, 1,400 hours. Every year, the average young person will spend about 2,190 hours on mobile devices. That's a lot of hours, right? They'll spend every year about 50 to 60 hours on average in church. Now look at all the other things, but church actually is one of the fewest places they'll spend the less amount of their time. But isn't it interesting how the expectation is on the church to do the most in the life of a young person? We're going to play our part. This is proof by having this seminar, by having this night like we're having it. This is proof about our children's ministry and our youth ministry. This is why we do it. We're going to do our part and we will continue to do our part. But let me just say this to you. The greatest influence in the life of every young person, whether you're a baby or a teenager, is you as a parent. 3,000 hours a year the average parent will spend with their young person. That's important to know. That's important to take. Let's honor that. And my question to you as moms and dads, what are you doing with those hours? What are you influencing? What are you allowing to influence them? Is it you? Are the TV, are their friends, sports? God is important, but it's so important that we put him first. Let's pray.